And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for GSU Panther Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. And, of course, that means we are brought to you by the lovely people at J-Russ Diesel Repair, Impact Media, and Blog Talk Radio. Got a couple things we're going to get into tonight. It may be a short show. It may not be. Either way, football's back. It's in the air. Nothing tells us more about football being back than the last practice scrimmage there is. And camp's over. We're going to practice a little bit this week, and then, you know, they're going to be on to school and, of course, on to the game that will be September 2nd, 7 p.m. at the Friday night against Ball State in the Georgia Dome as your Georgia State Panthers will kick off the season. And everybody will be in their shiny new shoes and be ready to kick some butt. I was almost getting too excited there. But it's been a fun couple weeks, really, leading up to this scrimmage and everything. And I got a special social media shout-out. It was part of the reason why we were almost a little late coming on the air. But it happens. There's a good reason to miss it, or to almost miss it. But without further ado, let's get into a little bit about... Now, they technically didn't really keep score. There were a couple scores here and there, which we will get into. And let's see. I have it somewhere in front of me. Oh, I believe this is it. There we go. Now that we're less than 2 weeks away, of course, from the opening game, probably I'm not going to say surprising, but, you know, given limited parking and everything, there was a really good crowd. I'd say a couple hundred people, probably several hundred people, actually. Georgia State fans stood in the heat with the rest of us and the players, and the humidity wasn't too bad. But the final scrimmage on Saturday at the practice complex, Coach Miles really liked, you know, the grittiness, the determinedness. I'm sure if that's a word. Coach Miles is very happy with the way things come out. Really, there was a couple people got dinged up and scratched here and there. Some people, get tangled up in running. It's part of football, but I think everybody come out unscathed. I did talk with some of the, obviously, you know, some of the players that were out there didn't record anything. A lot of it just saying hello in passing and just checking on how things were going. But, I mean, there's some things we got to wait till they're officially released as far as information. But there's some things that may surprise you guys. Some things that actually, maybe if you pick up on how I'm going to say something here in a minute, you might be able to pick up on what I'm talking about. But just know that Bobby Baker, when he was playing safety on the Team 1 defense, which he did all day, and he's the leader of that defense. He's the shot caller. He calls out all the calls so that they know, you know, certain schemes or how to adjust certain ways. He kind of plays he's the safety over the top, kind of the center fielder, at least during these things. There was a lot of different looks they showed, but for this practice, because of the way the offense was running certain schemes, they stayed with the safety over the top. He was able to control everything in front of him. Nothing really ever got past him. And he was pretty happy about that. He felt things could have been a little better, but he said they could have been worse. So, you know, things they can work on. Of course, Keith Rucker, for the most part, really didn't get involved with the offense much. He was working on this blocking mostly at the scrimmage, which is something even he said is something he wanted to work on. And work on it he did. He did a pretty good job when he catch passes. A lot of them were over the middle, a couple of them down the sideline. Looks like that's not going to be an issue at all. Not that it ever was. Keith can catch pretty much anything thrown his way. as far as the first team offense, well, I think it's maybe the second team offense, which was led by new quarterback Ja'Quez Parks. He led the second team all day long with Connor Manning and Aaron Winchester swapping off on the first team offense. Remember to think about wording and think about the way things are said today. Maybe you can pick up on something. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag if it's not public knowledge yet, but, you know, it kind of is what it is. But Kendrick Dorn was the running back behind Ja'Quez Parks. Parks was able to move the ball a little bit, actually, and done pretty well. They worked on the two-minute drill and some other things. Parks actually led a touchdown drive. It was capped off with a four-yard run by walk-on Marius Lochner, who made a pretty good showing. I mean, you know, a lot of times walk-ons, you don't know how they're going to pan out or anything like that, but Kyler Neal from my hometown of Dallas had a three-yard scoring run. I like the way that guy runs. I really do. I was able to talk to him a little bit afterwards. He said he felt pretty good. He was happy for the opportunities he got. He knows he's great at goal line. He's working on other parts of his game to get better, but he said, given the way things are playing out, that, you know, he'll continue to keep digging, but he's pretty happy with the way things are playing out as well. He had the three-yard score and run. You're not going to – it's hard to stop him at the goal line. It really is. He's a freight train. Tan Ari Wertz actually had a highlight reel catch where he kind of went up, did a pirouette, which for you non-ballet people is kind of a spin in the air. And as he got spun around, the defender had his head not quite turned around yet for the ball. He reached over the top of the defender, grabbed it, still got a couple more yards as he fell to the turf. It was definitely highlight reel worthy. Of course, Ari Wertz is 6'4". He's a sophomore this year. Ended up being a 26-yard reception. I believe it came from Parks, if I'm not mistaken. When Aaron Winchester was in, he looked flushed a little bit here and there. It happens. I do like his instincts were when he was pressured, when he needed to move out of the pocket, he would. When he didn't, when he needed to stay in the pocket, he did. He was able to catch some yards with his feet a little bit, as was Parks. And Winchester had some pretty good throws that were pretty on the money, including with running back Glenn Smith for a 26-yard touchdown. And, of course, Connor Manning, when he was in, his passing was a little better. He's not a scrambler. He's a pocket guy. We were able to actually see him look a little more comfortable than when he was in the spring game, because when he was in the spring game, he was almost new kid in town. He didn't really know a lot of people. He didn't really know the scheme and the way things were wanting to go. It really wasn't that developed. They were just wanting to see talent-wise what they had, and that's why he may not have looked as crisp as Aaron Winchester, who, you know, put on a pretty good show in the spring. Let's see. Who was it? I know we have it written down here. Who did Manning find? Oh, it was Todd Boyd for an 11-yard score and play. It was a nice pass. Another one. None of these receivers are likely to drop anything. If they do, you need to check and see if maybe the air was let out of the ball or something like that. I'm kidding. I'm not going to talk about Deflategate. But all in all, you know, the offense all looked pretty good. It seemed like Brandon Wright is going to be the kickoff specialist and the punter. He had one punter. He was on his own 12-yard line. It goes over the head of the returner. You know, returners sometimes let them go, let them bounce because of the coverage. It rolled all the way to inside the other 5-yard line. It was, of course, called back because of penalty. But, wow. Wow. You know, that was almost goal line to goal line. He was 17 yards away from having a 100-yard punt. And he's got pretty good accuracy as far as dropping it where he wants it. The newcomers, of course, as far as field goals, you had Barry Brown, who gave a few good attempts at the place-kicking job, and then I'm going to try my best to get your name right. If I get it wrong, I really apologize. I'm working on it. But I think it is Roger Ton Lewhouse. Maybe Lowhouse even. But Roger Ton Lewhouse, former soccer star who can really put some behind a ball. Him and Barry Brown were able to hit some pretty good ones with Ton Lewhouse hitting a 21 and 33 yarder, and he actually hit the upright, not the crossbar, the upright, one of the ones that go up and down on a 50-yard attempt. As far as the standouts from this game, the things that maybe the bigger surprises was that freshman receiver Devin Gentry actually had a pretty good going as well. Trent Miles talked about him in some of his interviews and said that he really thinks Devin is a good player with to be even better, you know, really bright future type thing. Pretty new to the system, but he liked what he saw. And to a system that's already so full of so many great receivers, this could be outstanding to have him kind of coming out of the stable on down the road. Cornerback Cedric Stone, very smart player. He's a freshman as well. Did quite well in coverage. And there was another one. See if we can find him real quick. Can't remember. Let's see. He was a corner. No, he was actually a safety, I believe. He was leading the threes for the defense. But, I mean, the kid was good. He was barking out the right orders. He was making good calls. I thought the kid showed a lot of promise as far as that as well. Now, like I said, after taking Sunday off, back on Monday, they were back at practice at about 9 or so. The overall takeaway from this scrimmage, is that this defense is scary, fun, good. Describe them in three words: scary, fun, good. As good as the offense was at moving the ball, as good as the offense was at doing things, and the run game was looking good and all this sorts of thing, man, the plays that the defense was making, unbelievable. A lot of interceptions, even if they were called back for penalties later. Lots of pressure and pass breakups. It's going to be so much fun watching this team just play on all facets of the game. Special teams, the coverage teams were doing great. Wasn't any real big returns or anything to really worry about. But, it was super awesome. And the best part was, if you made it Saturday, that the team actually fed you. They had food and all kinds of fun stuff going on. They had music for a little while. They cut down the music when the playing started. All the big media guys were there, including myself. It was a lot of fun. It was good to get to see everybody again. I know I talked with a handful of you guys. It was so great to get to meet some of you guys and to see some of you guys again. I look forward to seeing you guys at the games. We got some fun stuff. Store coming up this season. I think you guys are going to really like some stuff that we have going on. Now, of course, the other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about is that Bobby Baker and Robert Davis have been named to the 2016-17 Reese's Senior Bowl watch list. Now, the Senior Bowl, of course, is on, so this will be the 68th time the game will be played. It'll be on January 28th at Ladd Peoples Stadium in Mobile, Alabama. Of course, that is down where South Alabama plays their football games, I believe. The practices are televised live on ESPN. The game is broadcast live on the NFL Network at 2:30 that day. And actually starting Tuesday, January 24th, the official bowl week begins then. If Bobby Baker or Robert Davis are selected for this game, I mean, we got a long time before this, but if they're selected, they would be the first Georgia State players to participate in the Senior Bowl. That's not saying that a handful of these other guys wouldn't necessarily make it to this game, because there's tons of talent. They're coming out from everywhere. Now, you guys know all about Bobby Baker, the safety, 6'2", 200 pounds. He's a senior. Sherman Oaks, California. You guys know all about Robert Davis, wide receiver, 6'3", 220. He's a senior, of course, from Warner Robins, Georgia. You guys know all about him because we talk about him all the time. They're by far two of the best players on this team. The fact that they were pegged this early to be on the watch list, I mean, this could be a really cool thing. Definitely be a really cool thing. That's going to do it for us this week. Our social media shout out this week, I will tell you why I was a little bit late on getting here. The reason why we were almost late coming on air was that I was participating in a Twitter/Periscope live chat with Samantha Steele Ponder of, I believe, ESPN. She's going to be back on the game day Saturday night games with Kirk Herbstreit and somebody else. But she decided to do a live Twitter/Periscope interaction where she talked about her new things coming up. She talked about her husband, Christian Ponder, being with the 49ers. She talked about her amazing kid, Scout. But she really talked about being a sideline reporter and what all that entails, and answered a lot of media-related questions. So social media shout-out tonight from GSU Panther Zone to Samantha Ponder. She is at Sam_Ponder, P-O-N-D-E-R. Make sure to give her a follower. Do not harass her. She's a very nice woman, very awesome, very talented. I enjoy her work. I'm a fan. You guys should be too. But as always, given that Georgia State is, you know, just now getting back into the groove of school, got the game coming up on September 2nd, just a couple weeks away, everything is still up in the air. The quarterback battle between Connor Manning, between Aaron Winchester. I think if Parks had been here a little longer, you might could throw him into it. Been a couple position changes. We'll tell you about those possibly next week. But everything's up in the air. How are things going to go? Well, we can speculate all we want, but until we see cleats on the turf, until we see those blue and white uniforms, I can't wait to watch. I hope you guys are going to be there. If you can't be there, ESPN3 is going to carry all these games, and I believe a couple other networks are going to carry them as well. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us on GSU Panther Zone. We'll see you guys next week. Go Panthers!
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. BAM!